Hello to all my friends at Game Fix. It's me, Mario. Woohoo!
Hey, it's Frank Grillo.
This is Roger Clark.
This is Master Daniel Piscina.
This is Lucy Pole.
This is John St. John.
You're listening to my favorite,
the Game Fix Podcast.
Game Fix Show.
The Game Fix Show. Yeah, them boys, they're pretty funny.
I think right now in this world, it's all about the crossovers.
We are there. This is happening. This is the next step. I'm telling you right now, man.
It's that wait and attack pattern where they give you an opening and then you have to strike them, knock them down like, I don't know, two or three times, and then you defeat them.
All right, partner. You know what time it is.
Let's go crazy! Go crazy!
Welcome to another edition of the Game Fix Podcast. I am Spanish.
I'm Mike, y'all.
And I'm Verlaine, motherfuckers. You can check out our website, gamefixshow.com. And our weekly stream or our weekly recorded podcast right here, if you're not, facebook.com/gamefixshow or twitch.tv/gamefix.
That's right. Easy way to find us, like Verlaine said, check the website, gamefixshow.com. Has all of our stuff, everything. You could follow us right there on social media. You can even listen to the freaking show right there if you would like. Download it right there, and we'd appreciate it. We do. We really much do. We talk video games. That's who we are. We are the Game Fix Show. I feel like I don't have to say that because we already said it, but I'm going to say it again. It doesn't matter. So we got a good show. There is so much going on. In 3 days is the Game Awards. So we'll talk about a couple of the categories, the nominees, if you will, as we do each and every year, and this year no exception. So we'll get to that. Also, Nintendo is on another rampage. Just like they all always are. It's just Nintendo doing Nintendo things. That's all, you know. Also, some video gamed movies. Will they succeed? We'll get to those more by the end of the show. But we got to go with what we're doing. We're playing like we always do. Mike? How about you start us off this week? Mike, what have you been playing?
Played mostly Star Successor, Sin and Punishment for this week. It was a sequel to the original Sin and Punishment for the Nintendo 64. Initially didn't get released over here. It's a part of the Switch Online Nintendo 64 expansion pack. And I remember playing a ROM hack of the first one. The second one came out for the Wii in, like, I don't know, 2011 or so. Kind of an under-the-radar release, as, like, most, like, kind of second-tier Nintendo exclusives are. I like this game because it puts me in the mind of, like, rail shooters like Panzer Dragoon or Crimson Dragon or Star Fox. One of the advantages of this one is like, using the nunchuck. So you can kind of control your own reticle with, like, the Wii remote, and moving yourself around. It's a pretty interesting dynamic to use, and I really wish that, like, more Wii games had, like, properly utilized this, because there's, like, a few games that do it, like Red Steel 2 and The Conduit, and it feels a little bit like that. And this game's a hard bastard. Like, the first one's pretty tough. This one's a pretty brutal game. And I didn't remember if there were, like, specific routes for the male and female protagonist. But yeah, Star Successor, Sin and Punishment, pretty cool game. One that I actually saw on like Walmart shelves as late as like 2 years ago. Like, so if I went into the Walmart around my area, there would still be some Wii games there because they'd still be selling like Just Dance 2021 and 2022. And then like Star Successor would just be there, and it was there for like ages. So I also played a little bit of Crimson Dragon. I actually had to restart my game because I don't know how. I lost all of my data. So I had to start the game over. And I think what had happened was my nephew was installing Rise Sons of Rome. And he was looking to delete and make room for it one of the times when I was on vacation. So I get back and all of my Crimson Dragon data is gone.
Wow, so he deleted your data? Why would he do that?
It should be on the cloud, though, but...
If you upload, if you uploaded the crowd,
because I think that at the time when I played it, I didn't have an Xbox Live membership.
So
nothing got backed up there. So I lost everything. Mm. So I've got to go through that and do it again. But I love the game, so I have no problems trying to get all the shit back. But that's mostly what I've been playing this week. Not really a whole lot. That's
cool.
Legit.
That's cool. What is in that case? What is your retro reboot of the week?
My retro reboot will be.
You're like, I'm making it up right now. That's <I'm just> kidding.
Another popular rental from my childhood days: Caveman Games.
I had that for my Tandy.
Really?
I have not played that. Explain to me what that is. Honestly, I've never even heard of that.
This is an Olympic-themed game where you play as cave people, and you're doing a lot of Olympic-style events like track and field, or in this instance, you're running away from like a saber-toothed tiger. There's like a pole vault that involves having to jump over the head of like a Tyrannosaurus Rex, whose neck you can increase before you do the jump in order to have a higher score. And kind of like fencing, they have clubbing. So like you and another caveman will just like whack each other in the head. Yeah, it's a game that killed our fingers back in the day. Just like Konami's track and field and such.
Sure.
It's just button mashing insanity.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Nice. Okay. Game.
Cool. We'll look for that tomorrow, about noon, 1 o'clock. He's going. Mike, you'll put that out on the website, gamefixshow.com. So please go check that out. I'm going to go next because this is going to be an easy one. I've been playing God of War Ragnarok. Yay.
Nice.
I'm going to tell you my prediction right now. It's going to win Game of the Year.
Okay.
I believe it.
I gave you that early. You guys get to tell me later which yours is. So, and that's it. That's it. I'm not going to, I guess I did play a couple of rounds of Tetris 99. I was on the road and traveling, and I like to play a little Tetris when I'm, so that's about it. Yeah, nothing too crazy, but yeah, I've been really, really into Ragnarok. So, Verlaine, what have you been playing?
I have been playing Beat Saber. They have a sale going on until tomorrow. Every song is $1. I don't know if it's just Oculus or if it's all platforms, but yeah,
that's good to know.
It got me to play more. Ooh, I bought a couple songs that I had for PlayStation, but not for Oculus. Bat Kids, I've been playing a lot with Jack. We're plowing through. They just
Gotham Knights. If people are not understanding,
they just released this Heroic Assault, which is a game mode in it where you pretty much, it's almost like just waves, maybe little things, but it's like they're floors, and it's pretty much you go in and you beat up a bunch of fucking dudes, like just a lot of guys. And there is a semi-story to it. I guess Starro is involved and is possessing some guys, and it's cool because like it's still like bringing in harder guys, new characters we haven't even seen yet and that do different things. The enemies are getting way smarter. They dodge more, and you really have to mix things up now at this point in the game. We're both probably like maxed out, but, it's still fun. It's still a cool game. And, I don't know. I have a feeling this is going to be one game. I don't know. I feel like this is going to be one of the games that they're going to really try to tie into the cinematic universe.
Oh, okay.
If not at least to another game. Because the intro to Starro and stuff, and with Gunn saying he wants to do blah, 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 and Gunn being the director of Suicide Squad that had Starro in it, this could be a story that happens during that time period. It'd be as easy as that, you know? So, and it was really weird because I mentioned before when when you first come across Harley Quinn, you're talking with other people about her and they're telling you that, you know, she's been, or Alfred might be, or somebody telling you that she's been kind of a good guy working on another project, which was the whole Suicide Squad thing. So it'd be pretty cool. I've been playing Overwatch always. The new character is coming out tomorrow.
Cool. Cool.
And I get, I mean, it, if that's going to also be a new battle pass, I'm just going to end up buying the battle pass. So I don't care. But I guess he's a lower tier and people have problems and blah, blah, blah. and that's it. I played Goonies 1 and 2 on Nintendo also.
What? That's a throwback.
Yeah, I was just trying to see the, because I don't think Goonies 1 came to the United States.
Mike,
I don't know.
Mike, do you know about that? There's similarities.
Yeah, there's similarities and not. And the sequel, like, I'm almost positive in the United States there wasn't a Goonies 1 available because it was weird. Like, you see just Goonies 2. I don't know. Either way, it's cool because, you know, they're different games, but they're the same. They use a lot of the same mechanics, a lot of the same – the music, some of the same cells are even in the game. So it was very weird. Still kind of has nothing to do with the movie, but whatever. I like Goonies. And that's it.
They are pushing for a sequel to Goonies. You know that, right? Like, for real. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, the only drawback is that the guy right now who's trying to take charge and at this point now trying to coerce people to let him take charge of it is Corey Feldman. I have a feeling that if he takes charge of it, it's not going to be as good as it could be.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
So, yeah. With him so in it, someone will come out and be like, hey, I'll do it.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I mean,
it could be good, right? I think.
Sequels, man. Legacy sequels are the thing. And if you did a Goonies, fucking hey, dude.
I actually just saw a legacy sequel over the weekend. I saw Top Gun Maverick this weekend.
Yeah, how was that?
Well, we'll talk about it later in the show. We'll just say it was good, but I'll go into it later.
That's answering my question.
Yeah, but no, but I'll go deeper into that. So, but yeah, was not disappointed. So, all right. Well, if you guys are listening right now via the podcast or you know downloaded it, send us what you've been playing this week. We really would like to know right here on the social medias. But if you're listening right now as, like, let's say Bocephus right now is, let us know what you've been playing. That's for sure. Although he does say Fortnite looks beautiful, looks amazing with the new Unreal Engine update. I'm never going to know. I'm never going to find out.
it's like... At one point, I was kind of like, oh, you know what? I'll go in every once in a while with the characters that they add. But then it got oversaturated, and that's what killed my liking of Funko Pops. Way oversaturated. And they're not doing anything creative with the game itself. The game is just so simple. Like, it's still a game where, dude, if a 10-year-old can go and beat me at it, I don't want to play it because it must not be very much to the fucking game.
Right. So really, it's your ego that's stopping you from playing Fortnite.
No, it's not. It's the game is too simple, and there's nothing to it. It's just it's such a simple game. It's the same. Okay. It's the same thing.
All right, because it sounds like the same thing to me, but it's okay.
No, it is
RNG with like the aiming in it. That it feels like there's less skill required to get kills in it.
No. Oh, probably. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's why they even tried that whole take out the building part. And a lot of people went to that because it's when you get skilled gamers that know how to play shooters and you're down to one-on-one and the dude in front of you is just building walls, you know he's not a fucking shooter fucking person because he's building walls.
Yeah.
And that's what pissed me off because I don't have those building skills. I didn't play the game to get those building skills. So it's just like that's when I stopped. When it's like, fine. You're just going to make me blow through all my ammo. That's it.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Sorry. Sorry. All right. Well, then let's get right into this, because this is something that obviously people have top of mind, because, you know, in order to play games, you have to pay for games. And Microsoft has announced that they will be raising prices on new first-party games built for the Xbox Series X and S. To $70 in 2023. The three starting off will be Forza Motorsport, Redfall, and Starfield. I mean, we already know this was happening. PlayStation already did this. I paid $70 for Ragnarok. This is already a thing. So I don't know. If someone is like, about it, I feel like this has already been announced. We could talk about this if you guys want to, but like, I just wanted to put it out there that like, this shit has already been announced. And when I was a kid, I used to fucking had to save money to buy a Sega Genesis game that was $80. So everyone complaining about a $60 or $70 game can suck it. That's where I'm at. How do you guys feel about this? Should they be 70? Or, I mean, without being like, oh, I can't afford it. Should they be 70? Or do you think they should stay at 60 and then go from there? What do you guys think?
Yeah, they can increase the cost of them. I mean, people are going to pay for whatever they're in, for whatever they think their entertainment dollar is worth anyway. And you don't really hear that much outcry after a couple of months when like Netflix or Disney Plus will eventually increase the price of their subscription services. Mm-hmm. Video games are no different. They used to be $50 once upon a time. You didn't really hear about that outrage. So it's really not that big a deal. People are going to cry foul, and then eventually it's just going to be clockwork, because that's how people work. It's just going to look for kind of another reason to throw shade at the platforms. It's not really going to hurt Sony sales. If like Nintendo does it, it's going to be the same thing, and Nintendo still sucked in 1996. So, like this, it's also most games are still going to be on Game Pass anyway. So there's still going to be a reason to subscribe to Game Pass, and even if Game Pass's price goes up, it's still a pretty good bargain considering what you get from there.
That's fair.
So could this
announcement be Microsoft trying to more so get people to subscribe, like a scare tactic? To get them to subscribe to Game Pass to avoid this?
Yeah, but you see, like I'm saying, I don't think that's the case, because like PlayStation already made this announcement. They're already charging $70 for games.
Yeah, so is Xbox. There's certain why make it official? But I think what they're doing now is because every game, at least on Xbox, that was doing it, there was also a non-XS version. So they were kind of, some of them might have been like $10 more. They would be the same for cross-play purposes and stuff. But now when you buy the new Forza and it's, you know, Xbox, you know, straight up $70, most likely you're not going to be able to cross-play with people from last gen. That's the thing. Because now they're just pretty much, this is the end. And you got to, I mean, inflation. We're lucky that we haven't seen this past years.
Mm-hmm.
But you also got to remember, like, they can do whatever the fuck they want. But what's going on is that we are migrating right now into a free-to-play system, a live services game like way of life. And so if you're going to go ahead and you're going to charge $70 for a game, it better be a goddamn good story game that lasts a long time, because now you're going to compete with every game that A, comes out on Game Pass.
Sure.
B, is free-to-play even if it doesn't. And those free-to-play games are going to rely on other stuff to make their money, and they will get their money because they're going to be good games. Because what's going to happen is now, back in the day when you saw free-to-play, it wasn't a good game. You know it wasn't a good game because it was free-to-play. Even if you could buy stuff in that game, it was free-to-play. Graphics aren't going to be that great. It's not going to be awesome. Now, AAA titles are going free-to-play, so you immediately know you're getting a lot of value from the free version or the free part of that. You will buy anything a AAA company will put in the game because it's a sweet fucking good game. And look, people like me, I just saved now $70 buying Overwatch. I'll pay $10 on fucking Battle Pass. You know what I'm saying? Like, so with that in mind, dude, like, it's risky charging those prices because it just, unfortunately, that just seems like where the world is going. And it's got to be like, you're going to, like PlayStation, they can charge $70 because they have exclusivity. The games are like awesome games. The stories are big. If they keep it up, they have a chance. But then most of these games, you come out with any other game that lasts 2 hours and you complete it, how dare they come out with $70? Like even some of these Star Wars games or Battlefield, even Battlefield isn't worth $70. Call of Duty, not worth $70, because it's still the same fucking game.
I agree.
It's
just I agree with graphics. That. Yeah.
But everyone's going to be doing something different, because sooner or later, if it does keep going up, look, let's just round to the nearest 100. In 5 games, you just bought your console. Is that fair? It's kind of weird, yeah. Right? 5 games buys a console that plays the games.
Well, in a recent interview, you know that Spectre did say that they lose $200 per console.
Yes, so, and that's been traditional in video games. They lose money on the consoles and make the money on the games. Now, we've seen console prices rising, game prices staying the same. Now, we can only hope that now that game prices rise, console prices are going to go down because they're just going to take the hit on the consoles, and now they're making double on games, which we're going to pay for because Mike said it. We have no choice, and that's how the world works. You can come out and say, hey, guess what? Now every day you live, every day you wake up, you have to put a nickel in this bag or you can't live. People are going to do it, of course, because we just threatened their life.
But I know, I was going to say, that's a little extreme, but yeah, I get your point.
That they're going to do it, you know, like, oh my God, milk costs more than gas at one point.
Yeah.
Still, people still fucking bought it. They needed to.
Yep. Yeah, no, you're right. So, you're right. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's not... All in all, it's not a surprise. It's about time. And again, when back in Super Nintendo days, $80 for fucking Mortal Kombat 2 is what I paid. So fucking, I'm still saving money right now.
There you go.
On better quality games.
It's true. It's true. Even Mike, Virtual Racing was $99 back in the day. And I even said that MK3 was $75. I remember paying that. So like It is what it is. I think that's kind of like where we're at. We're actually lucky that we're only paying 70. They could just I'll even say what Mike said before. If they say it's $100, you're still going to fucking pay for it because you want to play the game. Like I wanted to play Ragnarok. If they said sorry, it's $100 and that's the cheapest price, and then the collector's edition is $180, I'm going to pay the $100.
Yeah,
it's what it is. It sucks.
But, go ahead, Mike. Yeah, if that game wasn't worth it, it would destroy them.
Well, it's true.
And they couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. But, yeah, it's just going to be a way of life.
Yeah.
I have Game Pass. Honestly, like, until something fucks up with that, it's actually a good deal right now.
Yeah, I agree.
And if there's anything that Xbox fans can take solace in is that, hey, with their three AAA exclusives that they've released a year, you're only going to be paying, like, $175. So, there you go.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just crazy.
That's why I play indie titles all year.
That's why I steal games all year or something like that. No, I don't steal games. I just borrow them. That's what it is. All right. Let's just head to Nintendo. I think we should just go there because they have done it again. They have shut down a Smash World Tour. Apparently, organizers are losing hundreds of thousands of dollars because of this. It was announced that they, without any warning, they're shutting it down and they no longer can operate. Of course, as we all know on this show, anything third party that has anything to do with Nintendo, surprise, surprise, they'll shut it down. So, I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of stupid people out there and people and naive people that think that they're going to get away with this because it's such a big event or something like that. But the problem is if Nintendo isn't making money on it directly, then they have a problem with this. It's hard for me to blame them. Although I feel like they're the only game company that's doing this. You never hear anything else. Like if someone had a God of War party or something like that, no, Sony's not shutting that down. Right.
Yeah. I think that it has to do with, and look, I don't fucking really know much about esports, but I mean, I'm willing to bet that, well, A, Blizzard hosts their own for Overwatch. So you're done. Capcom and Evo. I mean, I'm sure that there's a deal that's gone down. Like, Capcom pays them a certain amount of money or vice versa. Something's got to go down because what it's amounting to is like these Smash tournaments, they've been threatened before. Yeah. They've been shut down before.
Correct.
And when it comes to Smash, what you have is what I'm picturing is a couple guys go in, they want to get involved in this fighting tournament thing because everybody's into it. There's a fighting game that doesn't have one and a company that makes the game isn't supporting it. So why don't we? In a way, it's taking the easy way out. You're just trying to you're using their property to make your money. That's the biggest thing that they're doing.
Yep, there's no, that's the problem.
Like with emulation, you could say, well, I own a copy, I'm using it to play. okay, you have a sort of a defense. With this, you're flat out making money in off of a property that you just thought, because they said, didn't say no, that meant yes.
Correct.
And that's exactly what they thought. And that's not what it meant. Whether Nintendo did it on purpose to fuck them really hard or not, we don't know. But well, that's the issue.
Well, is SWT, as they're known for, Smash World Tour, in 2022 alone, they connected over 6,400 live events worldwide with over 325,000 in-person entrants. One of the largest esports tour in history for any game title. The championships would also have been the largest pool, prize pool in Smash history, over 250,000. And the 2023 Smash World Tour planned to have a prize pool of 250,000. Again, Nintendo isn't making money off this, so they are in their rights to shut you down.
And they didn't even...
It's pretty clean and clear.
Ask for money. So they're seeing, and that's the issue too. Said it. Do what you got to do with fucking IPs. Like, you're a little man. No one's, you know, blah, blah, blah. But dude, when you get too big, you're fucked. And that's what happened. They got way too big. And it was just a matter of time when Nintendo's like, all right, you guys have made enough money. You guys have made, you've become millionaires off of our fucking products. It's done. The silly thing is, they didn't say, we want in, or we're just going to start our own, because Nintendo won't. They're not just going to turn around and do a Smash tournament. They're just shutting it down just to shut it down.
Yeah.
Whether it's malicious or not, they have every right. And I mean, look, this doesn't surprise me, and I don't care, because I don't care about Smash. It's not a real fighting game, because Nintendo's not a real fucking game console. I'm sorry. But seriously, so for it to get shut down, we've witnessed these Smash tournaments. They go on at cons that we go to. It's just a bunch of fucking little kids who don't have money to even buy the shit that is supposed to be promoting. So even if they came and like, we're promoting Nintendo, dude, your audience is fucking under 18. They're not buying our product and their parents aren't watching it.
Right.
Boom. So it doesn't matter. Like, there's no vested interest in that. They are making more money keeping the prices of 10-year-old games the same as they were.
Yeah, I agree. Mike, looks like you want to say something.
Good chance for multiverses. Yeah,
for sure.
I think that the only other company that was this like stubborn about shutting down Attorney, it was Toei Animation, and it was Dragon Ball FighterZ. There was a tournament they're going over there, and I believe that they pulled it out of. I don't think it was Evo, but they pulled the rights out because they didn't want the pro players and tournament organizers, just like Verlaine said, making money third hand off of their product.
Correct.
So I'd always thought maybe Nintendo would begin hosting their own tournaments. Now, they've teamed up with Panda Global.
Could you imagine if they fucking like figured that out?
Yeah. Like if they did that for things like Splatoon and actually hosted these events, they'd probably get pretty big turnouts.
I would imagine.
They'd probably see a ton of revenue. They probably see a ton of revenue like that. Hell, one of the commercials for the Nintendo Switch was a Splatoon esports team for the console launch.
Great point. That's a great point. And we still haven't seen it yet. That's a great point.
There could be like when Blizzard was around, maybe even now, like people joke around about it.
I mean, they're still around
for sure. But that, well, you know, like as what I'm saying is they were getting a lot of guff and quote unquote, like not doing good. They weren't getting ratings. They weren't getting views. Sure. It was going like not in a good direction. That's why I said, I don't know if it's still going on in the sense that it's as big as it used to be on television, blah, blah, blah. Either way. What if it's just a matter of Nintendo saying, hey, listen, man, cause look, it's not as simple as just fucking hosting a tournament. These things are huge and you can't just go, you have to go all out if you're going to do this. You see what fucking Blizzard does. You have to outdo that if you're going to do it. Maybe they don't have or want to have the resources to put into it. Putting $5 million in a staff, location, finding locations, all this, only to make $3 million and to give $1 million out in a pool isn't a good business deal, which might be why a lot of companies will let Evo run it and do things like it. But maybe Evo didn't get a good enough deal for Nintendo to, again, say, this isn't worth it. We could fucking buy 30-second ad space at the Super Bowl for the same fucking price and get more of a result.
It's true.
There's got to be a reason. Nintendo is stubborn. They do whatever the fuck they do it and it's working. And whatever I don't the like
fuck.
Them.
Whatever the fuck they do. They do,
but they have their people by the balls. I don't know. I don't get it. I grew up with Nintendo 100%, and I'm still like, I grew up. But either way, I don't know. I play video games, so it's like hard to even give a shit if they say, oh, you can't televise your fucking game anymore. Like,
yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's, but like we said before, we've talked about this almost, I would say roughly, I don't know, 80% of our shows, 70% of our shows have something of Nintendo shutting something down, right? I mean, this isn't a surprise thing. So people that think that they're going to get away with this, it's just kind of sad. I don't know. It's just stupid. I think it's stupid. Like, well, don't be stupid. You have all these people involved. You have all these promises to pay all these people, and you think that you're just going to get away with it. I don't know. It's just, for me, God, like, how stupid.
I think, it's greed, maybe. I don't know. I'm sure it could not have been just out of nowhere. They had to have some sort of, like, signs, you know, like, yeah. Every story that we talk about that Nintendo shutting shit down, they thought, oh, we're untouchable.
Well, apparently, according to a Nintendo spokesperson, says, unfortunately, after continuous conversations with Smash World Tour and after giving the same deep consideration we apply to any potential partner, we are unable to come to an agreement with SWT for a full circuit in 2023. Nintendo did not request any changes to or cancellation of remaining events in 2022, including the 2022 championship event, considering the negative impact on the players who were already planning to participate.
Oh no, I was a pro Smash player. What do you do for a living? I play Smash Brothers. Oh, it's like multiverses, right? No, it's like that, but it's like with Mario. Oh, Mario? Oh, I used to play Mario when I was fucking 12.
I still play Mario and I'm 39. Yeah, so that's fine. What, I can't play Mario? Fuck you, Verlaine. What the fuck do you care? Yeah, I'll play Mario if I want. Anyway, let's stick with Nintendo though. They are shutting down an RPG game. It is a mobile game, right? It's a mobile game. Yeah. It's a mobile game called Dragalia Lost. I never even tried this. They're shutting it down. Pretty much at this point, it is, you can't even play it. It is completely down. No, you, even if you have it downloaded, it will not open. Verlaine, I know you actually brought this to our attention. Do you have something you want to say about it?
No, I was just, okay. I just noticed that my biggest thing is, you know, remember when the Switch just came out, Nintendo was just going to, like, swore they were going to just revolutionize mobile gaming. They were going to fucking in it.
Still waiting.
Yeah. Still waiting. And this is not a... I mean, the game, I don't know. It could have been good. I don't know. It's not a good sign because most mobile games, I don't know. If you're good, you go for a while. Mobile is fucking the epitome of fucking live service gaming.
Sure.
Like, I mean, that's... So I don't know.
I don't know.
Look at Mike. He's like the Rock.
I don't know. His computer keeps freezing. Mike, do you even know about this game? I know you sometimes have a good bead on RPGs.
Yeah, it comes across in passing. I've got a few buddies that played it. I never played it myself. So it's interesting that Nintendo feels like we can't coin cash off of like browser games or mobile games like this, yet they cancel tournaments that they could make money off of
right.
actual IPs. So I feel like that this was like a game that they probably could have just like slapped on the Switch itself, but it's them once again failing to like dip their toes in the mobile. And it's like, we don't understand it, so we're going to quit. It's actually like a Sony move, like what Sony would do with handhelds. We can't dominate the market, so we're just going to give up.
Mm.
And I don't think that they ever printed out a player interface with it, but I don't think it would be that hard to run like a game like this or something like Genshin Impact, because they they have in the past released games like this, like Metroid Prime Federation Force, which like encourages multiplayer. So it shouldn't be that hard to like establish a game like this to have it run via mobile. And I think they did like crossover with like Persona 5. If you can't bank off of weebs with Persona 5 as a crossover, then your fucking mission statement's terrible at this point. it's probably no real loss. They might try it again at some point, but it's just one of those things that we're going to experiment with. It didn't do what we wanted to do. Just like their, I can't remember the name of it. It was prior to the, it was right when the Switch launched, and on the Nintendo app, you could like do weird shit with your like Mii character. And you could like snap photos and selfies of it. It was supposed to be the sort of supplement to like them killing Miiverse, and you would like run it through the app, and then everybody just like fucked with it for like eight straight months, and then they just decommissioned it, and then like what used to be that became the Nintendo app that we know now, which still doesn't really have a good interface. You still can't really communicate with people. Yeah, you can find Switch friend codes and everything, but. And I freaking hate those Switch codes, but there's still no like real chat interface. There's like no messaging, and they're stuck in 2003.
That's what it is
on this front.
Yeah,
it's dumb.
Nintendo. It's Nintendo.
I have no idea how such an ass backwards company can like maintain. Okay, actually, I do. I'm about to answer my own question here. It's just because tenure. They've been around for 40 years. Most of their fan base that buys their games are like in their mid-30s, and they'll choke out anything that Nintendo throws out there. So, bad mobile game, bad online service, bad servers, no servers, and they can just get away with it. Until people actually stop buying their shit like they did with the Wii U, they're not going to change. They have this model that works, so now it's like, well, if it works and we're making money off of it, there's no problem, is there? And, nope. that's the mentality.
Okay.
Nintendo.
Nintendon't. That's what. So, all right. Well, let's jump off that. This is something that doesn't make any sense to me. All right. I get it. I get that. Like when a game does well or whatever, eventually they put out. What do they put out? It has all the DLC in it. What do they call it?
Game of the Year Edition.
Game of the Year Edition. Exactly. Cyberpunk 2077 is coming out with a Game of the Year Edition. I feel like games that aren't Game of the Year, I don't know, eligible, shouldn't have that moniker. I get the point behind it, but is there something else we could call these other than Game of the Year? Can we just call it all of the DLC in one or something obvious?
They couldn't do anything else. They already put the game on sale. This is like probably just another chance to like sell the game one more time, and no one's going to believe them. Like the game might be perfectly what they want now, and it might be a point in time where most people that they need to have next gen already have it.
Yeah.
But it's really hard to come back from a marketing standpoint with everything that they've done, from the bad launch to the deep discounts of the game to the game virtually being given away. Now you want to put the game back together. You can come out and tell people it works now, but no one's going to do it. So what do you do except for Game of the Year Edition?
Yeah.
Because everybody has one. And I mean, the question is, are they going to maintain the game being worthless and the DLC maybe being what we pay for? So it'll be like a low price point.
Yeah.
Because if they come out with like $70, then they're definitely trying to fucking, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Trying to pull one over, like make up the money they lost maybe. I'm not doubting that the game isn't worth buying now. But I can see that, what do they do?
Yeah.
This might be the time to buy the game, but I mean, it's not like, I mean, most Game of the Year editions aren't like a better version of the game that was already existing.
Yeah.
That's very odd.
I don't know. It's just weird. I just feel like there should be a new name for that, just so we understand.
Hasn't it been around for more than a year?
No? Let me see. That was, what, November 2021?
Okay, that might be. I mean, I don't know. It seems like it's been around longer than a year.
Because I feel like it launched right next to the new console.
It launched December 10th, 2020.
Okay. All right.
So it is 2 years old.
So the game of the year is 2 years after the game launch.
Well, keep in mind, the first year, it was shit.
And it's always, you know what, game of the year comes out after their last DLC. Gotcha. So the, if their fucking, whatchamacallit. Road.
Like most ongoing games do that, like the stuff like the Overwatch will still win awards for like ongoing games.
Well, that's that's different. Yeah. Well, now you can't say that because they put a 2 on it.
Oh yeah, that's right.
So that's a brand new game.
It's a completely different game.
Yeah. Why didn't that get a nominee? We'll get to that
because it's not like outside of that 2. Even the same game. Like. Even the game, if you have it on, had it installed, it's still like it still will show. You know, it's the same game. I don't know. It's not like the game they erased the game and it's a brand new game, literally like a new app on it. It is the app that was just overwritten because there were sometimes when I would record video and on the bottom it still says Overwatch Origins Edition, or if at first when you guys were playing it would say Spanish
Beta.
Playing Overwatch or Origin Edition. Because it was just the first one.
Yeah.
But yeah, that game, I don't know. It can still win ongoing. I mean, shit, give it another 5 years and
it'll still be around.
Well, let's see.
For Overwatch 3, or they could rewrite 3. They rewrite the same.
Well, let's see. Right now, the nominees for best ongoing is Apex Legends, Destiny 2, Final Fantasy 16. I gotta do math real quick. Fortnite. 14. And Genshin Impact. So
see, Fortnite's still even on there.
Yeah, I know. Overwatch isn't even a part of that now. Interesting. I don't know.
I like it though.
Yeah, yeah. Apparently, Bethesda's director, executive producer as well, Todd Howard, says that the devs approach the sixth Elder Scrolls game in a way so that people could play it for a decade. 2 decades after its release.
Yeah, it's called put it out kind of shitty and then remaster it 10 times
as you,
you get to the end.
Well, I mean, Skyrim is 11 years old and it keeps being sold. Obviously, it's probably, apart from Doom, it's probably the one game that's on the most like different consoles, different platforms. I guess, you know, when it comes to games nowadays, I feel like if you can't get a game that does, especially an online game, that doesn't last that long, it's a failure, right? It has to be. So I feel like he's just kind of putting it out there. So it's like, you know, so hopefully it'll become true. But I don't know. I just feel like that takes a lot of balls to say that. Because, like, that game could come out and it could be nothing.
Yeah. What Skyrim had that this game didn't was no competition. When this game comes out, it's immediately going to have competition in Skyrim.
Mm-hmm.
The reason Skyrim has lasted so long and, you know, 10, 20 years after is not because it's a fucking the awesomest game alive. It's because you keep releasing it. So different generations are exposed. Smart move for you guys because people are buying it.
Absolutely.
But a good handful of people are also just fans of Skyrim and want to own physical copies on every console. Or they have other consoles and like to start over and just like to play the game. Whatever the fuck. I don't think it's that easy. And yes, if you're an online game and you're just going to go strictly for like live service, you're gonna have a problem. Fortunately, Skyrim's not, you know what I'm saying? It's a single player game.
Yeah.
Single player first person game, but it's also very cloned by the same company. And look at Fallout. Fallout, in a lot of people's opinions, is a stronger IP, has been around longer, and is really the same kind of game, just a different time period. And it's not like people are still playing Fallout 4 or Fallout 3 as much as they're playing Skyrim. Because mm-hmm. they're not releasing Fallout 4 every fucking year on a different console. Look at Fallout 76. He said the same fucking thing. This is going to be fucking awesome. No, it's not, because Fallout 76, same thing. You're competing with a game that you already made that is dominant, and that's Fallout 4.
Right.
So is Skyrim, what the next Skyrim, if it's supposed to be like a live service kind of like Fallout 76, I don't know, man. I don't know. This guy's kind of like off his rocker.
That's what I'm thinking.
He thinks a little too big of himself, like not understanding, well, Skyrim, again, there was nothing like Skyrim. It's going to take one guy to put out a game like Skyrim. Fuck, Blade and Sorcery, if you want to include VR, like Skyrim's like, Skyrim has VR. Yeah. I haven't played Skyrim VR.
Did you see that Blade and Sorcery video I sent you?
Yeah, that's sweet.
You could be Kratos. That's pretty awesome. Anyway,
so I don't know. It's something that we're gonna see, but we've already seen them kind of screw up once. So and look, what I got out of this is more like excuses. Why isn't your game out yet? Well, I wish we would have started earlier. Why? Why? What the fuck does that mean? Didn't you have a game plan? Didn't you already have you have your blueprint for your game? If you had it back then, what were you doing? Focusing on Fallout 76? Like, it just seemed like a lot of the shit he was saying was just an excuse. Oh, when is it going to come out? Oh, it'll be soon. Oh, I wish it was going to be soon, but I don't know. Blah, 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 blah. Like, but it's going to be the best thing.
Yeah.
People are going to play 10 years, 20 years after it's released. I mean, I don't know. It just, I think they are worried, maybe.
Okay. Okay.
And what if this make of Starfield? Like,
yeah, and Starfield. What if
it's a $70 game though, so
fucked. Because that's kind of weird that he's gonna like at first they're promoting Starfield as like the next fucking, you know, in this weird trilogy, Fallout, Skyrim, and then Starfield. Right. And all of a sudden now he's all fucking, oh, I wish we would have started this game instead. What the fuck? Am I going to go buy Starfield now? Because the fucking dude who made the game is like, I wish I would have done the other game first.
Right.
Like, what? I didn't even think of that. Holy shit, dude. This guy's crazy. Yeah. Oh, man.
They're freaking bottlenecking their own demand here because they're releasing three of the same kind of game at once here. And not to mention, like, okay, well, what about, like, Deathloop? People like Deathloop and they'd like to see more Dishonored.
It was okay.
So...
But it is in the universe, and it is different. And look, come up with something different. They have two fucking structures of game, and if they're going to keep competing with each other on that aspect, Deathloop and yeah, I don't know, man. It's just I don't know. We're just going to have to fucking see because this is very just. I don't know.
Well, Todd, good luck, Todd Howard. Yeah. Are you guys getting the I Am Jesus Christ to prologue game?
No.
No, okay. All right. So let's move on.
I mean, talk about a boring-ass game. Mm. What would you do? Just I saw the gameplay footage.
Believe in Jesus?
You did nothing. Like,
yeah.
And it's so weird because I'm sure that you couldn't even just do things either. If you wanted to kick a cow or something, you can't. Can't do anything.
I mean, you're not gonna everything. You're gonna be nice in this game, right? Like, nothing is going to be mean. Nothing is going to be heinous. Everything is going to be.
Game's not even gonna come out.
Yeah.
The mods at least are gonna have fun with this game. It's gonna be like the mid-2000s where those like novelty comedy Jesus action figures that like Spencer's Gift was selling like or that. Something. It's just gonna be the video game equivalent of that.
Yeah,
but.
Yeah. Okay. Good luck to them.
Awful.
Awful. All right. Let's. Yeah. Let's do that. So when you know everyone loves free games, right?
Ah, man, I'm all out of cash.
So let's do that. We have some free games. PlayStation has announced their free games of this month, and you know what? They're not bad. I was actually kind of like, oh, okay, right on. The first one is Mass Effect Legendary Edition, which is, I believe, all of them, right? Or is it just the first one?
All three.
It's all three, right? Yeah. So that's pretty cool. I'm into that. I actually might give that a go just because I was a fan of the second and third one. I never got a chance to play the first one, so maybe this is a good chance for me to do so. The next one is...
Aren't they on Game Pass?
Sure they're on Game Pass. Well, that's fine, but I'm talking about PlayStation right now, Verlaine, so hold on.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying you said you wanted to buy it. If you have Game Pass, you don't need to buy it.
No, I just want to play it, that's all. But I'd rather play it on PlayStation. I have a PlayStation 5. I don't have an Xbox X. Series X. So the next game is DKO, Divine Knockout. Not really familiar with this one, though. Is it like a fighting game? Three versus three.
Yeah, it's like a 3D arena platformer.
Okay.
So like if you took like Brawlhalla or Multiversus and just gave it a third person perspective.
I'm a professional Brawlhalla player, by the way. Sorry. And then the last game is Biomutant. And actually, that was one game that I was kind of interested in. That was a PlayStation exclusive, I believe. It looked okay. I don't know.
I forgot about that.
You're like a cat with a giant sword, right? And you're kicking some ass. Yeah, I'll definitely give that one a go for sure.
I thought it was like Rocket Raccoon because it would be a game I would see on shelves in passing. So I'd walk by and it's like, oh, Rocket Raccoon with a giant sword.
Yeah, why not? I'll give it a go. I'll see what it's all about for sure. So the Xbox games this month. They only put out two, this month will be Colt Canyon.
Oh, I played that too. Okay. I forgot to say it.
Okay. You did. Okay, cool. And Bladed Fury is the other one. What did you think about Colt Canyon? And what kind of game is it?
It's like a top-down bullet hell kind of procedurally generated. I haven't played enough of it to see if it's a roguelike or a roguelike, but it's all around shooting. The graphics, it's cool. The graphics are like Atari cowboy looking graphics, but the animation isn't. Cool. It's bloody, it's a little hard to control. I just got to like going through the tutorial. So it's okay. A lot of people only complain about the graphics, the game. If you like that kind of game, play it. You know, it's nothing. It's nothing really original. It's just one of those games set in the West. Shitty 4-bit graphics.
Fair enough. Okay.
Like if you ever play like that old shooter, like Gunsmoke on NES.
Oh yeah. I have played that.
Like jazzed up.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. Well, that's cool. All right. Well, there you go. Play them if you want. And if you don't want, that's fine too. Keeping it going. Actually, there is a list for Xbox Game Pass releases this month. And I have a list of the first wave by date too. So right now, as of December 1st, Eastward is available. The Walking Dead, the final season, and Totally Reliable Delivery Service. Which is probably a Kojima game. coming out tomorrow, actually, December 6th, Lego Star Wars The Skywalker Saga. I'm sure Verlaine is super excited about that one. And Hello Neighbor 2. If you're into Hello Neighbor, there you go. December 8th, Chained Echoes. And then Metal Hellsinger. Isn't that already on?
Metal Hellsinger, yeah.
Singer.
Well, yeah, it's on. It was already on there.
Yeah. They're re-releasing it. I don't know. December 13th, Potion Craft. And actually, the one game that I'm really actually pretty excited about, I do want to try, is High on Life. That's the game with all the voices from Rick and Morty, and you have like the guns that like talk to you and stuff, and that's what you are collecting, and each gun does something else, and I don't know, it looks pretty interesting. I definitely want to give that a go. And then December 15th, Hot Wheels Unleashed, the Game of the Year edition. there's that Game of the Year thing again. Rainbow Bill, The Curse of the Leviathan. So there you go. That is the first wave. Hopefully, at some point, we will see what wave number two is. That way, we get some... Hot Wheels got removed? Huh? What does that mean?
They probably took it off, and they're putting on the better edition.
Oh, that's probably why.
Maybe. I don't know. I wouldn't really know.
Maybe.
In the way!
Yeah. I don't know. So, all right. That's about all I have for vid games. I have some video game movie news. Do you guys, anything you want to talk about before we move on from that?
No.
No? Okay. Sorry. The first one, this is weird. I would say this is probably one of the deepest video games pool yet that they've at least tried. And it is Toe Jam and Earl. It is a movie in the works from Amazon. Apparently, it's from the company that Stephen Curry, the basketball player, owns. So there's money. There's money to back that, obviously. So that at least we got that. I don't know. Do you guys even care about a Toe Jam and Earl movie? And how do you want to see it, as an animated movie or a live action?
I think it should be like a Space Jam, and it should just straight up be just NBA. They somehow are just
like a mix.
They are on Earth with real life CGI, because I'm sick and tired of people saying a movie's coming out and it's not really a movie. Like, Mario is a cartoon. It's a cartoon. It's not a movie. Yeah. But yeah, that's how I think it should be.
Digitally animated movie. How about that?
Yeah.
Can we meet
it's
there?
An anime, if can, anything. But can we like, meet there? Well, nowadays, when they're like, oh, you know, so-and-so is a new movie coming out, new Star Wars movie, and then it's like, oh, awesome. And then you see it, it's a CGI thing. It's not the same. Not the same.
Yeah. I don't think we really need a Toe Jam and Earl movie. I think this is like one of those. It's one of those IPs that it's just like, I don't know. I think there's only like a very small group of people that would even be interested in it.
What? Wait a minute. Didn't Toe Jam and Earl just have a kickstarted kind of sequel that was kind of backed by Macaulay Culkin or somebody like that? That could be the premise and the basis of this. Granted, I don't think it did very well. It was taken kind of like an indie game, but I mean, that may be some sort of launch pad. There must be some sort of interest. I personally have never played the games. Like, I wasn't a Genesis guy.
I would like to see it, but yeah, I think it has niche appeal, mostly because games from that era, and it's interesting because the Sega Genesis is like Sega's crown jewel, but it's not because most of their Japanese games. It's because a lot of the games from like the Sega of America technology studio that made the things like the Comic Zones and helped with the Streets of Rages and helped with the development of like the Sonic games. But like Sega of Japan killed off that branch as like they went on. So if they make a Toe Jam and Earl movie, I think they should do like the Space Jam thing, and they just like go to places like Alex Kidd, Kid Chameleon.
Keep it like a multiverse. Like a multiverse. Yeah. That'd be cool.
And just do something like that. As far as like worldwide appeal, Toe Jam and Earl probably doesn't mean much to anyone that's like under the age of like 24. For the most part, because I remember that being one of the coolest Sega games that I played.
It was awesome. I enjoyed Toe Jam and Earl. I just don't know if I want to see them on the big screen. I don't care to see them there.
Yeah,
but
it's like, what would there be for story content? Like, would they just do like what like Chip and Dale's Rescue Rangers?
They'd be jamming, is what they'd be doing. So that's for sure. I don't know. I like the Chip and Dale movie. I didn't think I would.
I still have to see it. I do want to see
it. It was actually really good. I was like, wow, this was actually kind of fun. I liked it.
Yeah. It was weird as hell, but I was never bored.
Yeah, not at all, right? Like, yeah, I was like, wow, this is interesting, but I did not expect any of that movie, and it was good. Yeah, it was a good adaptation. I'm glad they did that. So the next one that I was like, interesting, Sifu. They are putting together a live-action movie from the John Wick creator. So there is some fighting chops. Get it? Get what I did there? Involved with this. I don't know. Would you be interested in seeing a live-action Sifu movie? And but I don't know. To me, it just kind of feels like just like another kung fu movie. But I don't know.
I don't know anything about the game at all.
Mike, I know you've played it, right?
It's kind of like a traditional revenge story. Like your family's attacked when you're a kid. You grow up and you want to take head of the business, so you're out beating up bad guys. It feels very 90s-ish, and you know what? I miss those kind of action flicks.
Yeah.
Like in a day and age where everything's kind of dominated by superhero stuff, is like action movies. I think something like this could be refreshing again. Is Sifu a big enough name? I think because video games are so ubiquitous. I mean, why not?
Yeah.
I mean, I think that there's enough for the casual audience to maybe take an interest in it if they kind of want something that's a little bit from the conventional series of like action flicks. If you're tired of Fast and the Furious 11, where they're now driving on the moon, probably, then have a good chop socky flick.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Cool.
I want to get a hold of the creator and instead pitch him
bring
to
his
do,
neck. Oh.
Instead of Sifu, which is dumb. Dead to Rights.
Ooh.
How about that as a fucking movie done by the John Wick dude?
That would be sweet.
That would be badass.
And people love animals.
Yeah.
The dog would be the fucking co-star.
Yeah.
Sweet.
People love animals, man. Like, yeah, whatever. I like how that's your reasoning.
It'd be like John Wick with a dog.
It is. John Wick has a dog, by the way. I don't know if you know well, that.
From the beginning, a wolf or whatever the fuck.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the reason why he's fighting. Bocifa says Kung Fu Hustle is the best kung fu movie ever. Okay.
I like Kung Pao.
There you go. See? I don't know. I did see Everything Everywhere All at Once this weekend.
I saw that already.
Have you seen that?
That's good. Yeah.
It was good. I like it. Have you seen that, Mike?
I haven't had a chance.
It's about like multiverses, but like our universe, you know what I mean? So it's not like Marvel or anything like that. But man, that was like a mindfuck of a movie. Like half the time I didn't know what the hell was going on. But like it really didn't matter because it was like a really cool story. I don't know. So I highly suggest if you're into kind of some weird shit, I think the best way to describe it is that the female, the lead protagonist, she's like Neo, right?
Kind of.
She's
yeah.
like the one.
It's more like, you know what it is? It's like the one, but yeah. not the one, Neo, the one.
I just said
the
that.
Movie, the one oh, okay. with Jet Li. Mm. Have you ever seen that movie where
yes,
he goes around and kills everyone?
Yeah, yeah. yeah.
So that's what it reminded me of. Like,
okay, I can
that,
see that.
Kind of like, you know, the powers of everyone. If you kill them, you gain them. That's what bad chick was doing. So, it was a good movie. It was confusing. It was a little. Some of the parts I didn't really fucking enjoy. I thought it was kind of hokey in parts, but there was a dude, I'm telling you, fucking Data was great. Like, where the fuck was he all this life?
I know.
Short round.
Totally.
Dr.
Good.
Jones!
Yeah. Yeah. That was the husband, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
It kind of sounds a bit like that, like, ScarJo movie, Lucy.
Wasn't Lucy just like fucking Eon, not Nikita?
Pretty much. It was kind of the same concept.
Mm. Okay. No, I thought it was pretty good.
It's on Hulu. Sweet.
Is it? Okay. Yeah. You should totally watch it for sure. Nice. Yeah, it's good. Other than that, I saw Top Gun Maverick, and I got to admit, it's one of the best movies I've ever seen.
Yeah.
It was that damn good. I had no idea what like I've heard some really good things about it, and I was just like, okay, let's go because I'm lukewarm when it comes to the first one. It's fine. It's just not really my bag, you know. But then I saw this one, dude. I could not stop watching it. I was glued to the screen. It is so like I mean it is. You're on the edge of your seat the entire time. It is insane. It's so good, though. I'm telling you. And watch it on the biggest screen you can find. I'm telling you. It is so good. It's a 10 out of 10. It was amazing. Bocifa says it was the shiz. It was awesome. It really was. I suggest everyone. Have you guys seen the first Top Gun?
Yeah.
Mike?
Yeah. I've seen the first
he
one.
Thinks?
Quite a bit, actually.
Okay.
Because right, I love the login soundtrack.
Well, I would definitely suggest to go check it out when you can, because it was damn good. So good. Oh, my God.
I always wanted there to be a Top Gun, Airwolf, Knight Rider combo fucking cameo.
Yes. <What?
laughs> That'd be sweet. Throw Somebody Mad Max in there, too. What the hell?
Fortnite.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. Yeah. I don't know. That was definitely a memorable movie, and I can't wait to see it again. Wow, it was so good. This is sad. I'm sorry to make this announcement here, but Kirstie Alley has passed away at the age of 71. I don't know if anyone cares, but I'll just throw it out there. Yeah, it's really sad. She battled cancer, so that I actually didn't know. I didn't know that she was, so that's very sad. T's and P's go out to the family, and that's sad. That's sad.
Look who's talking now.
Then. Now was actually the second one. Yeah. Do you?
Yeah, I've seen all of them.
Okay. Bruce Willis, I mean, come on. As a child. Which is weird to think about, right? Bruce Willis played a child. Like, in a weird way, yeah. I don't know. Yeah, cheers. For sure, cheers. You guys want to go through some nominees? How do you feel about that? We got a little extra time.
For the Game Awards?
Yeah.
If you want. We went through a couple of the first ones.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the tops.
Like,
yeah, go ahead.
Well, okay. Are you guys interested in Best Game Direction? You could say no, and we just move on.
Sure.
Not everybody at once.
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. Stand by. So Game Direction, Elden Ring, God of War, Ragnarok, Horizon Forbidden West, Immortality, and Verlaine's favorite, Stray.
That's right. This Game Awards is 90% five games, 10% a bunch of other games.
that's what it always is, isn't it, though?
Fucking stupid. I'm telling you, one of these days, I'm going to figure something out and have my own legit game awards and get legit people to give legit opinions on legit games.
Okay.
The people. Fuck the people and that blonde piece of shit.
Who?
What do they know?
Who?
I don't care. I don't know his fucking name.
Oh.
All right, go ahead.
Oh, you mean the host. Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right. How about best performance? I actually enjoy that category. That's a good one. Ashley Birch from Horizon Forbidden West.
Same games.
She's been on our show. What's that?
Same games, though, yeah. Right?
Not all of them. Charlotte McBurney, a Plague Tale, Requiem, God of War, Ragnarok, Christopher Judge, Immortality, Man and Gage, and God of War, Ragnarok, Sonny Soljic, the kid.
So that just made me think of something. With these games, this is a side note, I'm sorry if you don't want to go on this.
By all means.
With these games that are coming out, like A Plague's Tale, and all those games that are more like movies that you kind of just make choices.
Yeah.
I don't even remember what they're called, but you know what I'm talking about. A lot of them are coming out. That's not fair, or is it? I say it's not. Because you're going to get this celebrity. Say you get fucking Tom Hanks to do one of these fucking stupid games where it's not even a game. It's like essentially a Telltale game. It's just a movie you're watching, and then at one point you choose where the edit happens. Is it fair to then have him going up against these voice actors like from Horizon Zero Dawn when he's a fucking Hollywood god? Like, that's not...
I think it's
considered a video game.
I think it's completely fair because, say what you want about voice actors that are in video games. They are excellent. They are top notch. They may as well be, as you put it, Hollywood gods because that's what they do. So I don't feel like that's a disadvantage at all. I think it's more of a disadvantage to the Hollywood gods that aren't. That aren't used to doing voiceovers. I honestly think it's the other way around, but you could whatever say what you want.
Yeah, I'm not saying they're the best,
right.
Voice actors. But I'm saying that when you have a no name, no matter who the hell it is, you have a no name guy, the guy who voices Kratos.
Yeah, but this is the Game Awards. This is not the Oscars.
This is 100% relevant because one of the games involved is essentially just a movie. That's what I'm saying. Whether I'm not specifically saying this Plague's Tale because there's probably no famous people in it, but when it comes down to celebrities making games that are not, I guess what I'm saying is, it's just like saying Telltale games are video games. So then if you had Telltale games that had nothing but celebrities that people that don't play games know, and then you have real games that we play with non-celebrities doing awesome parts. Is that fair? Because we know half of the world is just popularity. So just knowing Tom Hanks is in A Plague's Dream or whatever, a lot of people are going to assume that he's going to get the best role outside of someone that they have no idea who they are. They don't know who Ashley Birch is. You know what I'm saying? And to that...
Yeah, but everybody in the video game industry knows who Ashley Birch is, though.
Right, but so that's what I'm saying. All I'm saying is there's going to be a point where this Plague Tale, this whole new kind of novelistic game where you're not really doing anything, it shouldn't be categorized as a video game. The same as we say, Telltale games aren't really video games. They're books. They're interactive books. Now you have interactive movies competing with video games. And I tell you, those actors, Ashley Birch, Dave Fannoy, they're going to start having problems when they're getting snubbed just because of bigger names. And it's happened already. They've already had problems with big name actors coming into video games during COVID.
That's fine and all, but all the nominees are not any huge Hollywood actors. Right. So this year it's fine, but I get what you're saying. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Whatever. That's fine. That's fine. Let's go to best fighting. This is more of Verlaine's speed. DNF Duel, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, All-Star Battle R, The King of Fighters 15, Sifu, and Multiversus. There it is.
Sifu's a brawler beat 'em up. I don't mean
I guess you're fighting, right?
You're fighting in the sense that like Streets of Rage is a fighting game.
Do you think Multiversus has a chance for Lane?
A chance, yeah, but it's not really it's not a good like the other games there. If you said Street Fighter, it would be better than Multiversus, because if you're really talking about a good fighting game, looking at a game like Multiversus, it's fucking cartoon action. Like, I would rather watch Tekken fighting, if that's how it should be.
Yeah.
So Multiversus may win, because this whole Game Awards thing is just a popularity contest, but it shouldn't win. I'm sure that there's other games that, like, I haven't played. Like, JoJo's Bizarre, I've played iterations of it. So in that case, yeah, that game looks fucking sweet. Like, Guilty Gear, like, those animated cell fucking 2D fighters that just look awesome. Yes, best fighting would go to something like that, in my opinion.
That's fair. That's fair.
So I haven't played the other one, so I can't say, and I'm not going to say Multiversus should win it, because, yeah, I play it. It's fun. Definitely not a good game. Like, it's not like the best fighting game.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, DNF Duel is probably the most polished on this list. I think King of Fighters 15 might win it. So SNK fanboy can rejoice.
You are, that's for sure. Best multiplayer. How about this one? Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge, Splatoon 3, Multiverses, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, and Overwatch 2. I don't know.
I think Splatoon 3 should get pulled off of that list. I've never had so many disconnections in a multiplayer game in my entire life. So, I mean, it's fun to play when it fucking works.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, look, again, this is things I would change. I don't play multiverses because 10-year-old can be. You know, you're right. You're absolutely right. This is another category. It just seems so. It's not. I don't know. It just seems stupid. Like, seriously, Modern Warfare. Okay, I know that the game just came out again. It's a remake, but it's not fucking. It should not be. Shouldn't be in that fucking category.
Okay.
It shouldn't. Like, certain games just shouldn't. Splatoon 3 shouldn't. And not because of the disconnects, but because of the fact that, I always say it, it's an exclusive. And especially in multiplayer, like, how are you going to have people, how is a game going to be even eligible if not everyone has an ability to vote on it and play it?
Yeah.
That's my thing. So Splatoon 3 shouldn't be on there. Modern Warfare 2 shouldn't be on there. So really, for me, it's between Overwatch 2 and fucking Multiverses. And Overwatch 2, if you want to think about it, is just Overwatch 1. So it should go to Multiverses.
Okay. There you have it.
Shredder's Revenge does run smooth.
It does.
Six players to run on that is actually pretty cool.
Yeah,
it is. The game has, for a multiplayer game, though, it doesn't have a very good replay value. Once you beat the game, there's really not much to do.
Yeah, I agree.
And I got to admit, once you get too many players in the game, it's just chaos. It's, you know what I'm saying? It's just like, there's just too much when you have six people on the screen, because it makes just as many enemies. But, I would have to say either that or Multiverses. Really, I'd go with Multiverses because it's going to last longer. People are still probably more playing it.
Okay. All right. Well, let's do one more. Best VR, AR. After the Fall, Among Us VR, Bone Lab, Moss Book 2, and Red Matter 2.
All right, well, we got to go with my rules, and anything that's not available on PlayStation VR also shouldn't be counted. I don't know if Boneworks is.
That doesn't make any sense. That what you just said. So if it's not on another console, it shouldn't be voted. I mean, God of War Ragnarok is probably going to win Game of the Year. It is
right?
a PlayStation
exclusive.
I still
don't agree
game.
That it should, because not everybody can play it. So that's not fair.
Anyone?
You know,
can play
that's
it.
Like saying like, yeah, if
they're not stopping anyone from playing it.
Well, that's just what I believe. And in this VR case, I'm going to stick. That's why I say this. If I'm going to say one thing, I'm going to stick with it. So VR, I've played all iterations.
I'm just trying to get you.
Either way, I would have to say after the fall, Boneworks is just a fucking
Bone Lab.
Pile of shit. That just Bone Lab. Well, okay, is it Bone Lab or Boneworks?
Bone Lab.
Bone Lab might win it then.
Okay.
Boneworks is a fucking pile of garbage.
Okay. There you have it. I haven't played Moss Book 2 yet, because the first Moss was awesome. I actually really enjoyed that, and that was on the PlayStation. So I would like to play the second one at some point. It was pretty fun. Pretty fun. All right, we'll leave them on that. Thank you, everyone, that watched us live. We do appreciate it. Thank you, everyone, that downloaded the show. That actually helps us even more. So if you haven't, do that. Please do that. And, yeah, that's it. You can find all of our stuff, all of our information at gamefixshow.com. Everything is there. Social medias, even to our podcast. You can listen to it for free. It will always be free. You can also, if you want to support the show, like a few of you do, and we appreciate it. We do have a Patreon. So, that is also on the website, gamefixshow.com. Like I said, at the beginning of the show, make sure you look for, Mike, Colonel Fancy. He'll be putting out a retro a reboot tomorrow. That retro reboot is
Caveman Games.
There it is, Caveman Games. So, look for that. That'll be out tomorrow. And, yeah, I guess that's it. There's one left thing to say is, it's your world. Pay attention.
Oh, shit. Here we go again.
Two.
I love you.
Adios.
Adios, turd nuggets.
What was it like to be there for historical sports moments and unforgettable performances? To be behind the scenes? On PressBox Access, you'll hear from me, Todd Jones, and other sports writers about their experiences with the greatest athletes, coaches, and sports events of the past half century. We'll share some stories behind the stories, some big, some small, and some we've only told each other. Let us buy you a round on PressBox Access.